Poverty issues. So if you're interested in helping with Blessings in a Backpack, we need to know that in the next month. You can adopt a student for $100. And so all donations are appreciated. You can write Blessings in a Backpack on a check and leave that in the offering plate. Leave that in the office. And Sharon, if you'll raise your hand, if everybody turns around in the white shirt, if you have any questions about it, Sharon can help you with it. You'll also see in your bulletin this summer potluck and film. I would call your attention to that in a couple of weeks, an evening of food and film, and those of you who are working for justice and climate change will want to be a part of that. Also, I have this fabulous-looking birthday card. This is for Dot Logan, who is 90-something pushing 100. And so we're going to leave this up here. And if you would sign that on your way out, we will get that to Dot. There's plenty of other ways you can be involved in our mission and ministry here at University Church. They are all in your bulletin, so take that home and give that a good read-through. And now, let us continue our worship.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood. I am honored to say I am the pastor here at University Church. I would like to send a big warm welcome out to each and every one of you today. So we have a lot going on today. I'm really, really excited. First, I'd like to share with you that we have Carol Bowl helping us with song today, and we have Dennis Triggs, who will be playing probably a few instruments, I'm imagining, right, Dennis? Maybe, he says maybe. We also have some friends here, Nathan and John. Nathan was a musician here from 2007 until 2011, and while he was the musician, John sang in the choir. They moved to South Louisiana, and Nathan teaches high school choral music, and John teaches fourth grade ELA, and we're so glad they're back here to sing and play an anthem. Nathan and John just celebrated their 15th anniversary, so congratulations. And we also have a guest speaker today, a guest preacher here today, J.J. Warren. J.J., I've known for years. He came to, I think, YouTube sensation after the General Conference in 2019, where he gave a passionate speech for full inclusion in the United Methodist Church, and it gave much inspiration to all people, people who were for full inclusion, and it changed hearts of those who were not for full inclusion. It was very inspiring. He has now spoken at 30 events in 6 states. He was published in Where Do We Go From Here? He was one of the thinkers and quoters in Where Do We Go From Here? And he has now been signed for his own book called Reclaiming Church. So we look forward to that coming out. And I was going to say something else about you, JJ, and it left, but maybe it'll come back. So let's welcome JJ. He's going to preach and talk with the children. So welcome, JJ. I'm sure there are other people to include, so I'm sorry if I forgot. So let's begin worship. Yay! The gospel stories tell us that Jesus always stood with the marginalized. The closed doors remind us of barriers that prevent us from becoming our truest selves, individually, as a congregation, and as a community. At University Church, we have been consciously, that is, in our own minds, welcoming to gay and lesbian persons since the 1980s. We didn't know about the other letters back then. About 10 years ago, we realized that our own knowing did little to let other people know that we were open to all. Because the United Methodist Church had and still has discriminatory denominational policy towards LGBTQIA persons in regard to ordination and marriage, we found ourselves in conflict with our denomination. We began to educate ourselves about the Reconciling Ministries Network, also known as RMN, within the denomination. RMN is a network of churches and individuals in the Methodist Church that is committed to full inclusion of all people in the life of the church. 9 years ago, we began a full year of study on the issue led by Tiffany Steinwert, who was then the Dean of Hendricks Chapel, reading books and inviting speakers, and making sure all members understood the issues. We created our welcoming statement 8 years ago and voted unanimously to become a reconciling congregation. We are delighted that you have joined us for this celebration, this 8th anniversary. So whether you are here for your first time or your 2,000th time, we offer this space, this worship and ourselves, to you as a gift of healing and love. Now please stand in body or spirit as we walk together toward becoming the beloved community singing Welcome.
Let's walk together for a while and ask where we begin to build.
Good morning. I am Jeannie Finlayson-Schuler, the head of your Reconciling Ministries team, and I'm delighted to be liturgist this morning. So let us celebrate our Reconciling Anniversary using our own welcoming statement as our call to worship. Please read responsively with me. University United Methodist Church embraces Jesus' message that God loves and accepts every person. We are proud to be an open, affirming, and reconciling congregation. We invite all, wherever they may be on their faith journey, to join us in discovery, worship, prayer, service to all. Okay, look around you. You are surrounded by the beautiful diversity of the people of God. Before you settle back into your seats, Take time to connect with your neighbors and share with them the boundless love of God and the reassuring peace of Jesus Christ. When you hear the music, it is time for you to return to your seats and for the children to come forward.
Will the children please come forward as they're comfortable? Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be with you all. My name's JJ. Now, on the count of three, I want you all to tell me your names, okay? So, on the count of three, you're going to shout your names, and I'm sure I'll catch them. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Got it. Yep, uh-huh. Perfect. They were great, right? You all remember, too. Good, 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 good. They know your names. I know your names. Awesome. Now, how many of you go to this church, like, a few times a year? Like, let's say five or more times. All right. Okay, good, 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 good. I like your dresses. You're all dressed up. You have some good children here. So, we all get to have some fun, and they get to watch us have some fun. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who likes to color? You like to color? Good. How many of you like to color? A few of you. Okay, okay. So I'm going to give you a piece of paper. So let's pass these out here. Let's just take one and pass it down. And here's some paper for you all in the back. And then we're going to have a challenge, okay? Do you like a challenge? Yeah, we have some head shakers. Do you like challenges? Yeah, some of you are asleep, haven't had your coffee yet. But we like challenges up here. Okay. So once you have a piece of paper, everyone's going to take one crayon. Thank you. All right. So everyone's going to take one crayon. Perfect. Good choice, Natasha. That's a good color. All right. So once you have your crayon, I have a challenge for you. Now, how many of you think coloring is difficult? Is coloring something hard to do, or is it easy? It's easy? You think it's easy? Okay. Well, let's see what you think in a couple minutes. All right, because I have a hard challenge for you. Nice. That's a good color. Here, you can pass these back there. Now, what are some of your favorite things to draw? Anyone have an idea? Yeah, what do you like to do? You like to draw? Yeah, drawings. Good. But what kind of things do you like to draw? Does anyone have anything they like? Flowers? Nice. What do you like to do?
I like to draw everything.
You like to draw everything? Well, that's good. Okay, flowers, everything. Yeah, Natasha?
And blue skies.
Those are good, too. Okay, so blue skies, flowers, everything. But I've got a challenge. How many of you are ready for this challenge? You think you're up for it? You think you're up for it? Yeah? Okay, so I'm going to ask you to draw a rainbow. Why do you look confused? I said it's a challenge. But why would this be difficult? Because you only have one color? Is that what you were going to say? So it'd be kind of hard to draw a rainbow with one color, right? Yeah? Yeah. So, what if you all came together? Then could you draw one?
and shared? Oh, nice. You're way ahead of me. So how about you pick a couple partners and you draw a rainbow together? Does that sound good? Do you think you can do it? Do you think it'll be a little easier than one crayon? Yeah? Okay, well, I'm going to give you 15 seconds. 15 seconds to draw the best rainbow you can with a few partners around you, okay? Does that sound good? Yeah? Oh, I didn't hear you. Does that sound good?
Yeah!
Yeah. Okay, good. Ready, set, go! And we all can sing the Jeopardy theme song. Doo-doo. Seconds. Five more seconds. Three, two, one, zero. All right, everybody, crayons up. Put your crayons up. Who has a rainbow they'd like to share with us? Anyone have, yeah, you have a rainbow? All right, you want to show everybody? Nice, that's a pretty good rainbow. Nice. Does anyone else have a rainbow? Yeah? That's a good rainbow. Anyone else have a rainbow? Those were some pretty good ones. So what made that easier the second time? What made it easier?
Glitter.
Glitter? We didn't have glitter. Next time. What made it easier? Was it easier together or alone?
Together.
Together? Yeah. So sometimes, right, we think our crayon is the coolest, yeah, or that we've got something pretty cool all to ourselves. But when we come together and make friends with people who maybe don't look like us or talk like us, we can create something pretty beautiful, right? So alone, we may think we've got it figured out. But when we come together and make friends that are different from us, we can make something beautiful. Does that sound good? All right, would you guys pray with me real quick? Dear God, thank you so much for these awesome kids and for the gift of your rainbow. Help us to go beyond our comfort zones, to make friends with people who we might not have talked to before, people who may look differently or speak differently from us or who love differently from us. Help us to embrace your beautiful rainbow. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, everybody. You can take your rainbows and head on back.
Thanks, JJ. Wherever each of you is on your faith journey today, you are welcome to continue it here with us. Please stand in body and spirit as we continue singing Welcome just a little bit faster than before.
Welcome, welcome to this place.
David. We are going to do something a little different this morning. You have a prayer of affirmation by Anna Bladel in your bulletin. If you have a BFF or a family member who is LGBTQIA+, or if you are comfortable identifying yourself as LGBTQIA+, I would ask you to get your prayer and come forward and join in the reading of this affirmation. We will line up across the railing and each read a few lines and then pass the microphone on to the next person. We read it for ourselves, for each other, and for those who do not yet understand that they are a child of God. You can continue to come up even as we read. Pride has to be about more than parades and rainbows. Reclaiming pride means recognizing that the violence against trans people of color never ended, and neither has our fight for liberation.
Pride was birthed from pain and pleasure, both. Pride was birthed from insisting, no pride for some of us without liberation for all of us.
Pride is celebration and resistance and healing and remembering. Violence, isolation, pain, and shame do not fully define our capacity for life, nor what is possible in this one wild and precious life we share.
What it is or feels impossible to even imagine what repair looks like. Healing happens by making space to tend to wounds and to the joys beneath and beyond, and to the forces of creativity and pleasure patiently offering themselves in this present moment.
We cannot make healing happen, but we can create hospitable space for healing's magic.
Healing is turning our attention to the frequencies that give and nurture life.
Each of us has the power to help each feel more, heal, and move toward our longings for liberation and justice together, writes Adrienne Marie Brown. We are not just our pains, not just our fears, and not just our thoughts. We are entire systems wired for pleasure, and we can learn how to say yes from the inside out.
No one can do our healing for us, but healing comes with and through each other's aliveness and tender care.
Healing is not fixing. A denial of pain, an ordering or chaos. Healing is opening to life as it is, with all of its losses, griefs, and gifts.
Healing is unpredictable, uncontrollable, messy. There is no timeline or formula. It cannot be forced. Healing can, however, surprise and sustain us.
Healing is tending to pockets of joy and cultivating pleasure in our world so congested with destruction and pain.
Healing is finding our yes, nurturing our yes, practicing our yes.
Healing is remembering what we have and when everything is under threat.
Healing is paying attention to when and how and with whom we feel free and breathe deep.
Healing is being patient when nothing feels free and it requires sustained intention to breathe.
Healing is deflating the lies instilled by scarcity and fear.
Healing is trying again.
Healing is holding each other and delighting in each other.
Healing is dancing when the world wants you dead.
Healing is remembering that together we have what we need.
Healing is slow, soft labor.
Healing is a practice of opening to life and to the sacred life force in each and every one of us.
Healing is becoming reshaped, reoriented by the futures we dream, the presence we engage, the past we carry.
Healing is sharing holy wisdom with each other because all are bearers of wisdom and we all need wisdom to guide our way.
And so, dear beloved, you, I offer you these words of blessing in honor of pride, as an invocation of healing, as an invitation into fierce resistance and tender pleasure, as we reclaim and reorient and remember possibilities for flourishing we can barely begin to imagine.
Healing is happening within and around you, here, now, as you simply and profoundly survive. Your tender opening to life is unleashing magical dealing in someone else's life.
When you show up to life with honesty and curiosity and compassion, you manifest spirit. This is honorable work.
You are so incredibly beautiful and brave that someone's heart is bursting.
Your liberation is bound up with the freedom and liberation of all other creatures, and your divestment from practices of dominance is a gift to yourself, healing for the sake of your own soul as well as our collective soul.
Your scars are marks of courage.
Your fear need not hold you captive. Healing is disorienting.
It's okay if you feel lost. You are finding your way.
Take a break from scrolling through screens and look up at the sky. Listen to music that moves your body and your soul.
Rest when you are weary. You are enough. You have struggled to get to this point, and your joy matters too.
Your presence is a gift. You are so very good, exactly the way you are. You are a becoming wonder and a bearer of hard-earned wisdom.
When the world feels too heavy, drink iced tea on a porch swing with a friend or whatever beverage works for you. Listen deeply into their longings and dreams.
Your capacity for healing and repair runs even deeper than your wounds. You are the divine's wildest dreams coming true. We are the divine's wildest dreams coming true. Make it be so.
People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Where children needing other children and yet letting a grown-up pride hide all the need inside, acting more like children than children. No more hunger and thirst, but first be a person who needs people.
people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Praise God for love, praise God for life. In age or youth, in husband or wife, lift up your heart, let love defend through death and life. In broken bread, no more hunger and thirst, but first be a person who needs people, people who need people, and then the luckiest people in the world.
Thanks, that was gorgeous. Of course. JJ has chosen scripture from the prophet Amos and Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Amos is cursing the rich for oppressing the poor and religious traditionalists for ignoring justice. Hear these words in verses 10 through 12 and 20 through 24 in the fifth chapter of Amos. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe, and push aside the needy at the gate. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amos is calling Israel to justice and away from hypocrisy and greed. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Paul is simply calling people to faith, faith that makes all things clear. I am reading the first three verses of chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning again, everybody.
Good morning.
I know you're more awake than that. Good morning again, everybody.
Good morning.
I know it's hot in here. Try wearing a blazer. So But at this point, it's stuck to me, and I wear it everywhere I go. But I promise I have more clothes than this. So this summer, I have the amazing opportunity of traveling around to about 8 different states, 30 different churches, annual conferences, sort of having a bunch of queer camp revivals around the Methodist connection, around the world. And so this gives me a really privileged position, because I get to see firsthand the work that the people called United Methodists are doing all around the world for justice and inclusion. I get to see firsthand churches in rural areas in Wisconsin and Illinois, and churches out in Arizona, and churches in California, in Minneapolis, in Maryland, to see all of these people who claim to be United Methodists working for justice. So what I've learned so far, and what I hope to continue to see over the summer, is that no one is alone, and no church is alone. You all are celebrating your Reconciling Sunday here in Syracuse, and showing that you show the city of Syracuse that this church welcomes all. You redefine what the people in Syracuse think of when they think church, because of your presence. But you're not alone. Churches are reconciling over 1,000 around our connection, and together we are redefining and reclaiming what church is. So, I hate to preach and run, so I've learned to be a better millennial and use technology. So, if you have your phone in worship, I know you're allowed to have your phones today. Take out your phone. I promise you're not paying for anything. So take out your phone, and I've decided to connect all of these churches that I'm visiting and conferences and youth gatherings to create a movement forward into a church of inclusion together. Everywhere that I go, I take a video of people from the churches that I visit, and I share that video on a biweekly newsletter. So every 2 weeks, churches all around the world see what you all here are doing in Syracuse. And you'll get to see what churches over in Germany and down in Tucson, Arizona are doing for justice and inclusion. A reminder that we're a connection. So if you have your phone, you can text the number 66866. It's not three sixes, don't worry. That was a joke. 66866. So that's the number you text, and then the word that you send is forward. F-O-R-W-A-R-D. Forward. So you text the number 66866, and then you text the word forward. And this keeps us connected, so that after this Sunday, I can keep tabs on you all, and you can keep tabs on me. And together, we'll help redefine and reclaim what people think of the United Methodist Church. Does that sound good? Yes, I heard one yes. If you say yes, say amen. Amen. Okay, so let's get down to business. The reason that I get to travel to all of these places is because at the special session of General Conference, how many of you know what General Conference is? It's okay if you don't. I wish I didn't. So General Conference is our global church body, right? So that's Methodists from all different countries in Africa, all different countries in Europe, all different countries in Asia and North America. And so all of these United Methodists come together and we decide on our rules. Well, as you probably know, the Methodists from around the world gathered this past February. And we were supposed to find a way forward, a way to be a church which welcomed and included all people and allowed for diversity of thought. But that wasn't happening. It was Monday, so this is the day before the end of the conference, and I was sitting up in the cheap seats with everybody else. Those are the nosebleeds, you know, because we were in a big stadium. And so I was in the cheap seats with everybody, sort of scrolling through my phone, bored of what was happening because it wasn't going well. It seemed like our church, which I loved, was tearing itself apart. The votes were just 1 or 50 off out of 800. The conversations had gotten vile, and the people had become nasty with each other. The church which I claimed as my home began to look like a broken home, began to be a place where no one felt welcomed at this conference. And so in the midst of this, I got a text message. I was a reserve delegate, which means I only went in when someone came out. And I like that wording. Someone had to come out for me to go in. So now you're laughing. So I got a text message that said, the church is falling apart anyway. You can come sit on the floor and take my seat while it happens. So instantly, I dropped my things at my seat where I was and ran downstairs, and it's a bunch of escalators with security guards, and they check your badge, and you get tagged in, like you're at the supermarket, and they're tagging your barcode. And so I got tagged in, and the other person got tagged out, and we did it the right way. Some people did it the wrong way, and there were some fraud votes, but we did it the right way, have no fear. And so I tagged in, I sprinted onto the floor, sat in my seat, and pressed my button to speak, having no idea at all what I would say. But I knew that the Lord was asking me to say something. I did not plan to be on the floor. People had sat there for half an hour with their button pressed to speak, and somehow they weren't being called on. And yet somehow within 5 minutes of sprinting up from the nosebleeds down to where everybody else was, my button was pressed and I was called on to speak, having no idea at all what I would say, having written nothing. And when I go to a church, I have nightmares the night before that I haven't written something. So this is my biggest fear. Rewind. A few months before that, I was at my home church down in Penn Yan, and it was announced that I would be going to General Conference again. And this sweet old lady came up to me and she said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that your story will be used to open hearts and minds at that conference. And I looked at her and I said, thank you. But in my mind, I thought, that's absurd. I'm just a reserve delegate. I'm just a small town boy from Penn Yan, New York. I'm just in college. How can my story be used on a stage in front of thousands of people? So I thought she was a little bit off her rocker, but I said thank you. And then we fast forward. And I'm standing there having no idea at all what I would say, but knowing that God requires us to say something, to face our biggest fears, to go to places and speak to people who we may not have thought we'd speak to before, to face our biggest fears because we're all vessels of the divine. And so I stood there and I shared my story of how I, as a gay United Methodist from Upper New York, was changing hearts and minds on my secular campus. My campus is one of the most least religious in the U.S. It's moved down to number 2 on the Princeton Review. And there, it's the most friendly for LGBTQIA people. And I think that's no coincidence, sadly. It's the most secular and the most LGBTQ friendly. And so in this place, me as a gay United Methodist who wants to be a pastor was able to sit down at Bible study with people who were told by their home churches that God couldn't love them as they were. And there on that secular campus, which affirmed LGBTQ people, these other fellow college people found Jesus again. They found love again, and they found belonging because we were able to share a gospel of love, the gospel of Jesus, which hasn't been co-opted by religious institutions. And that's what we're here to do today. And that's what Amos did way back then. Right, so join with me, journey back, a little farther back from February. We're going to about 800 BC. All right, so 800 BC. And can we get the words from Amos back up on the screen? So Amos, this was a great time for the Hebrew people. So that in this time, in 800 BC, the people of the Hebrew nation had more lands than they had ever had. Things seemed to be going well for the people at the top. More land, more wealth. Their barns were flowing with food. So it seems like a weird time for God to send a prophet to say things are wrong. For the people at the top, the people in charge, it seemed like everything was going well. They were getting what they wanted. Their nation was surviving and thriving. But it's at this moment, when the people at the top are getting what they want, that God sends someone to upset the system. God sent this little shepherd boy who lives 16 kilometers outside of Jerusalem. I don't know why my phone told me kilometers. You can convert it later. So some odd number of miles outside of Jerusalem. So he's not in the big city, and he's just a shepherd. He has no education, and he's not ordained in the church or into the Levitical structure. And at this time when things seemed to go well, God called this little shepherd boy from a small town outside the big city. And God called this little shepherd to say to the people in charge that God hates your festivals. Because you who claim to be my people are hating the one who speaks truth. You abhor the one who judges at the gate. Therefore, because you trample the poor and take levies of grain from them, you have built houses of hewn stone and beautiful denominations and churches, my interpretation, but you won't live in them. You shall not live in them. You've planted pleasant vineyards and you have cool pastors in skinny jeans, but if they're preaching theologies of hate, you won't drink their wine. You won't enjoy that sweetness that you've tried so hard to create. Because I know, even though you claim to be my people who follow the laws, how many are your transgressions? How great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe like our general conference and push aside the needy at the gates? Is not the day of the Lord for you actually darkness? I hate your festivals and your solemn assemblies. I take no delight in them. Now, if we see the word assembly in Greek, it's ekklesia. And in the New Testament, ekklesia is the word we use for church. So God is saying to the people of God, I hate your gatherings. I hate your church. You claim to be my people, to be my church, and yet you're not following the spirit of who I am. You may be following the laws and doing the sacrifices as it says in the book, but you're missing my spirit. You are not loving as I am. And so these people who thought they were being the people of God were told by this small shepherd boy that God did not approve of the church that they had created. Though they thought they were following the rules, they were not following the Spirit. And so our challenge is like those people back then. Amos could have gone off, joined some other shepherds who said, hey, things are wrong here. Let's go start our own thing. But Amos is a prophet because he stayed and spoke truth to power. Amos is a prophet and not a heretic because he stayed and he tried to reclaim who they thought God was. Amos was a prophet because he said, though you, the church, believe one thing, God is saying another. Though you, the church, are preaching exclusion, God has sent us here in Syracuse to bear witness to the world, the United Methodist Connection, to say God is saying another. God is making a way, and we will be prophets in the desert from places in rural places in upstate New York and cities in upstate New York. We can be those prophets if we stay and speak truth to power. Amen. And so as we think about this identity crisis that the church is in now, who are we as United Methodists? Can we stay? And we think about Amos and the Hebrew people having their identity crisis. They were following the rules, but they were missing the spirit. And so Amos had to challenge what they thought faith was. And this isn't the only time this happens. And this won't be the last for us today. A few hundred years later, in about 85-90 AD, We get this letter to the Hebrew Christians. Now, it didn't have Paul's name on it originally. It wasn't until the second century that they did that. That was probably because Paul's name was on everything else. But this letter, which could have been written by a woman, was written here to this Hebrew community. Because at this time, people who weren't Jewish were being brought to faith. And so the Hebrew people, who had grown up Jewish, had to question, what should these other people do? Should they follow all of our laws? Should they do the painful things which are necessary to be Jewish? Or should something else happen? Essentially, the question was, what is faith? What is our faith about? Is it about the laws which we've had to follow, or is it something else? And so to these people who were having this identity crisis, who were asking each other, what is our faith supposed to be about, because they were trying to deal with who they should exclude, the author simply wrote this: faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. It's an assurance in things hoped for, a conviction of the things which we do not see. We have a vision of a Methodist church which includes and welcomes all people, which is a beacon for the world, a message of what Christ came to do, a church which liberates queer people and black and brown people and women and empowers them to be in ministry, to be messengers of the gospel, to transform the world together, to move forward into that vision which we see in Revelation, a vision where people from all nations come together and find healing at the waters and beat their weapons into plowshares. There is a vision, there is a hope for a world in which love is the way. And we have to be convicted by this vision, convicted and having hope in that vision, that this is the church we want to see and this is the church we can be. Because I believe God's not done with us. And I believe each one of us are vessels of the divine, that we can be the people who bring justice and let righteousness flow. We can be the people through which God speaks and acts in this world and in this United Methodist Church. We are prophets, and we're going forward together into the unknown future together to be the church, the ecclesia, which God has called us to be. Amen.
Thank you, JJ, for that powerful message. Feel free to be a singer or a signer or a listener, as we begin our prayer time singing the refrain of God Help the Outcasts from the movie The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Jeannie will first remind us of the signs. Then, if you are up for it, try the signing as we sing it together twice as Dennis plays. If you would like your prayer request read as a part of worship, please pass your yellow prayer slip to the ushers as they walk down the aisle. I'd like to ask the ushers to wait until we begin singing.
And I have a quick question. Does anybody know what happened to the mic stand that was right here? Okay, this is a little hard to do without a mic stand since for the people who were not here last week, we're going to quickly review the signs for this. So the most frequent signs are God, help. God, help. The outcasts, they're together and one's apart. We'll have to. And then God, help. Oh, I'm sorry. Start. God, help the outcasts.
Hungry from
birth. Do we have the words? Hungry is a bowl, hungry, from birth.
Show Show them mercy.
Show them the mercy they can't find on earth. God, help my people who look to you still. God, help the outcast, because nobody will. All right, let's try this.
Amen.
Let us be together in prayer as we first have a time of silence. Then I will offer a spoken prayer, and then we will speak the Lord's Prayer together. Speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that makes you feel closest to God. So take a deep breath, get comfortable in your seat, and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. God, our friend, you told our ancestors that the rainbow is a sign of your blessing and protection, especially after times of despair. We gather today to remember all those who have worked to make your church a place of invitation for LGBTQIA people. Because of them, we are gathered today. We gather today to remember those who have fought for LGBTQIA equality under the law and in practice in the United States. Because of them, we are safe to gather here in public and to live in freedom. We gather today remembering those for whom these freedoms are not yet realized. We pray for those who live under the threat of fear, of intimidation, oppression, and violence by their neighbors or by the state. We remember those who fight for equality today and tomorrow. We will never forget. We gather today remembering that your challenge to love our neighbors will challenge even us. We gather today remembering that for some of us, welcome and celebration in our families and faith communities is sometimes occasional or elusive. We gather today grateful that your church in this place is a symbol of your all-inclusive love. This morning, we raise our own rainbow. May it serve as a sign of hope, a sign of our commitment to justice, inclusion, and welcome, and of your love made real in us. May it be a blessing to all who come this way. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who are in heaven, blessed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today is another blessed day.
We are here for Holy Communion. How exciting. We normally celebrate Holy Communion on the first Sunday of the month, but I'm grateful to all of you that you let me have a vacation. And here we are today celebrating Holy Communion, and I'm so grateful because it's on our 8th anniversary as a reconciling church. So I just want to give you some logistics, and then we'll get into the liturgy. The first is that we serve only gluten-free bread so that all may participate in Holy Communion. We also have grape juice only, so all can participate in Holy Communion. When we serve Holy Communion, when we're done with the liturgy, we'll have two stations up here. One station will be here. There'll be bread cut into little pieces. You pick that piece of bread up. You go to the next station. You have a choice. You can either dip that bread in the grape juice and receive Holy Communion through intinction and eat it, or you can eat your bread right away and then skip the big cup, but go to the little cup and take a little cup of grape juice and drink that, and then place that into the basket. And then you're going to go walk out and around and back to your seat. And this side will be the same thing. So bread, juice, and then you walk around in here. You also can stop at the prayer rail if you'd like and stay there as long as you would like. Okay, so that's all of our logistics. JJ is helping me today. Thank you, JJ, with Holy Communion. So let us begin. Geese appear high over, oh, you know what? I probably need to do the practice thing, right? Barb, is the practice in this? Okay, sorry. We'll be fine. Okay, well, there's a sung response, and Carol is going to lead us, so we're gonna just wing it. We'll be great. Geese appear high over us, pass, and the sky closes. Abandon as in love or sleep, holds them to their way, clear in the ancient face. What we need is here, and we pray, not for new earth or heaven, but to be quiet in heart and in eye, clear. What we need is here. Go ahead.
These words will be our sung response throughout communion. What brings you here today? Let's try it together.
Oh, we are going to practice.
What we
What do you need today? What do you desperately need? Hear the good news.
What we
Before anything existed, God looked out into the darkness and saw the need for light. God saw the void needed life, and the vast waters covering the earth needed land. The day needed the sun, and the night the moon and stars. The land needed creatures, the air needed birds, and the sea needed fish. But even with all this, God needed us.
And so humanity was created as the crowning jewel of creation. And as we awoke to life, God told us,
what we need is here. What we need is
But as we grew, God saw we needed guidance. So they sent prophets to speak their truth. But we couldn't hear. We wouldn't hear. We kept turning away from God, even though all along,
what we
And so, God saw clearly there was a need for another way, a direct and simple way. Christ, God's own self, came to remind us, God is with us. We are loved. Whatever we need, we can just simply ask for our good and loving God.
What we
And though we didn't know we needed it, on his last night with us, Jesus said, here, take my body, you need it, broken for you. And here, take my blood, you need it, poured out for you.
Because this sacrament knits us together as one body in Christ, making us Christ's community, you are invited to join hands or to place your hand on each other's shoulders or maybe just towards each other as we boldly ask God to make this meal be for us what we need. Let us pray together. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be to the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at your heavenly banquet. Through Jesus the Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
What we need.
Amen. Will my servers please come forward and my ushers get ready?
Our church's vision is to feed God's people, body, mind, and spirit. And that is what we are all about. All are truly welcome here. Our family has been gathering at this place for 150 years, and you are now part of that tradition. Giving is a way that we recognize the source of all that we have and a way that we keep the family healthy. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slip that looks like this. In the plate as the ushers collect the offerings. And choir members will sing Joe Downing's Good News. It is a very energetic tune. Feel free to sing along and shout the words that are bolded. Joe Downing is a local composer. He, I believe, was the music director at Plymouth Congregational Church downtown. So this is a little upbeat and different. I think I might be wearing too many hats today. So, who's playing the doxology? Alrighty. Nathan's going to play the doxology for us.
Glory to God be the glory for
are created in God's image. It is the bottom line of our worthiness. Please remain standing and join me in the prayer of dedication. Ever-present God, we place our lives and our gifts in your hands. You promise to be always with us, no matter rough seas. You give us courage, approaching fear with arms of love. You encourage us to take risks, to challenge old ways of thinking. You lead us to freedom of unconditional love and richness of experience. You remind us that change is a gift of unlimited potential and possibility. Amen. No matter what people say, this service is going to end. Please remain standing and join me in singing our closing hymn, Child of God.
So immediately following this, we're going to have question and answer with JJ in the back in the gathering room. There's cake, so you can come and have cake and ask JJ questions. There's also coffee and water. And we thank you for being a part of this celebration. Do not be dismayed by the brokenness in the world. All things break, and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go, love intentionally, extravagantly, unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is you. May you be love and light for each other this day. Amen.